Hi, everybody. Welcome to Toro Sports Talks. I'm your host, Peter Toro. Today is September 15th, and it's been a little bit since I did my last podcast, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of women's sports, so I want to kick things off. A lot of news right now surrounding WNBA playoffs as they start today. Chicago Sky are taking on the Connecticut Sun, and the Phoenix Mercury are taking on the Washington Mystics. Both games can be watched on ESPN. On the West Coast, Chicago Sky and Connecticut Sun are going at 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock Eastern, and then the late game, 6 o'clock West Coast, 9 o'clock Eastern, is the Mystics and Phoenix Mercury. Both games are set to be interesting matchups because Chicago Sky started off the season red hot with probable MVP Courtney Vandersloot becoming the first WNBA player in history to average 10 assists over an entire season, as well as now becoming the first player in WNBA history with double-digit assists at 10 assists after a stat correction. Originally, she was at 9.95 assists per game, and the stat correction comes with an assist going to her wife and teammate, Allie Quigley, now being correctly given to her to give her the 10 assists for the total season. So she's going to be a player to watch in that game because Courtney Vandersloot and the entire Chicago Sky offense has been on absolute fire. Now, they were only playing with seven players down the stretch of the season due to injuries to Azaree Stevens and Diamond DeShields, so that was a big hurt and a big knock on the Chicago Sky. Down the stretch, they were playing with less women on the bench, so that made them a little more tired playing every other day. But they've had some rest here in the last couple days, and I think they're going to be ready to go against Connecticut. The Sun, on the other hand, started off horribly to start the WNBA wobble. They started off 0-6 but turned it on late to grab the number 7 seed in the WNBA playoffs. They're going to be headed by Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas. If those two can play solid defense and get off to hot starts, it's going to be a tough game for Chicago's guy for sure. Look for Chicago to play a lot of high-pace offense. They want to get out in transition and get easy buckets and run Connecticut kind of into the ground from the get-go. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, and they're going to try to keep the fast-paced offense going. Connecticut, on the other hand, with Alyssa Thomas, Dawana Bonner, they're going to be a little more strategic and playing and also trying to play more of a tempoed game as well as playing solid defense at the other end of the court. So that's your first game for the WNBA. The late game is Phoenix Mercury and Washington Mystics. Phoenix Mercury have been one of the hottest teams in the WNBA since Brittany Griner left the wobble for personal reasons, but losing such a big player like Brittany Griner, you would think that Phoenix Mercury would struggle, but the opposite's been true. It's really allowed them to get out and play a faster-paced offense with Diana Taurasi, the GOAT, and Skylar Diggins-Smith, even with an injury to Bria Hartley, who's looking at being the sixth woman of the year. The Phoenix Mercury have really been able to get out and high pace, high octane offense, and Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith have been a deadly duo from three and just from a total offensive perspective taking over the game. With this being a one game elimination playoff game, I wouldn't want to go up against Diana Taurasi. She is 15-1 in her lifetime in elimination games. So it's going to be a tough task for Washington Mystics, who just squeaked into the playoffs in the last day of the season. One of the bright spots for the Washington Mystics has been Myesha Hines-Allen, and she's been absolutely going off, having a career year in points, rebounds, and assists. She has been easily the most improved player in the league, and coupled with Emma Mieseman, Washington Mystics still have threats on the team that can go off at any time. So it's going to be a good game, I think, regardless. Obviously, the Mystics are still missing MVP caliber player Elena Deladon because of COVID reasons. She was worried with her battle with Lyme disease, whether or not it would be a safe environment for her to play. So she sat out for this season. But the Washington Mystics still have players on their team that can be dangerous, and it's going to be tough for them to come over Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith and the Phoenix Mercury. So that's going to be a good game to watch. Late, I'm going to take Phoenix Mercury for that game, and then Chicago Sky in the early game. In addition to these four WNBA teams making the playoffs, there are also the Minnesota Lynx, Los Angeles Sparks, Las Vegas Aces, and the Seattle Storm. All four teams get a first-round bye, and then the last two teams, the Aces and the Storm, get a second-round bye as well into the semifinals that will all be played again on ESPN.
going to do a quick dive
into all four of those teams and their chances of proceeding through the playoffs. I think the Los Angeles Sparks are a team that are really interesting, headed by Candace Parker, who has really been the best player for LA and also an MVP candidate, leading the team in points and rebounds, along with stud veteran teammates Chelsea Gray, Nneka Ogumike, and Simone Augustus, Christy Enigwe. This team is full of stars. It's just whether or not they're going to be able to get past some of the other bigger teams, I think. Seattle Storm and Las Vegas Aces both prove to be fierce teams with a lot of different threats. So it's going to be interesting to see how LA plays. The next team we're going to look into is the Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota's been kind of a surprise team for many people. Crystal Dangerfield is most likely going to be Rookie of the Year. If she does win Rookie of the Year, she's going to be the lowest drafted rookie at the 16th pick to ever win Rookie of the Year. She's absolutely handled the pressure of the WNBA being a point guard. She has a lot of pressure being the quarterback for that team, the captain, driving force for the offensive side of the ball. She's been able to handle that at every single turn with teammates Nafisha Collier and Odyssey Sims. The Minnesota Lynx are a really interesting team that coach Cheryl Reeve has done amazing with. Cheryl Reeve is also one of the top coaches for Coach of the Year in the WNBA. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they react to a playoff atmosphere, having a bit of a younger team, if they can handle that pressure of being in the playoffs and what they're going to be able to do with it. Now on to the top two teams in the league. We're going to start off with the Seattle Storm. Seattle has come into this year being the odds-on favorite to win the WNBA championship behind top player and MVP candidate Breanna Stewart. Stewie, you didn't think that she could get any better, but she did. After a torn Achilles in Russia last year, she spent all year rehabbing and came back this year healthier and stronger than ever. The reality is Seattle just has so many weapons that they can beat you with the likes of Sue Bird, Jewel Lloyd, Jordan Canada, Natasha Howard, Alicia Clark, Sammy Whitcomb. Seattle can really do it all. It's going to be really tough. I honestly just don't see anyone beating them in a series. I think anyone can beat that team in one game. I just don't know in a five-game series seeing a team being able to string together three solid games against such a defensive juggernaut team with Natasha Howard and Alicia Clark, as well as an offensive prowess team with Breanna Stewart, Jewel Lloyd, Jordan Canada, Sue Bird. I mean, they just have so many weapons on both sides of the ball that it's going to be really tough for any team to come close to beating them. So it's going to be interesting, but I think Seattle Storm are the odds-on favorite and also my pick to make it to the WNBA Finals. And now for the last team that I'm going to talk about is the Las Vegas Aces. I also think that the Las Vegas Aces proved to be the most interesting team among the WNBA playoff teams because that coming into this year, I don't think anybody had them doing as well as they had. Kelsey Plum was lost to injury with a torn Achilles, and she's rehabbing, and Liz Cambage opted out with COVID concerns. Saying that, this Las Vegas Aces team has not missed a beat. I think it's kind of this similar vibe to the Phoenix Mercury when they lost Brittany Griner. Losing Liz Cambage, she's a wonderful player, but that center position, it's tougher to get things rolling on offense. It takes a little more time, and Las Vegas has just been able to push the ball down people's throat. Thanks to Asia Wilson, who's also another fantastic player, and she's probably the favorite for MVP. She has just been absolutely outstanding, averaging over 20 points a game and 2 blocks. She's been an absolute force on both ends of the court. Not to mention teammates Angel McCautry and De'Erica Hamby, who have both been outstanding and had great years. Angel McCautry has been a menace scoring the basketball, and De'Erica Hamby is probably the sixth woman of the year again. She would be a starter on any other team, same with Jackie Young. But the way that Bill Laimbeer has constructed this team and constructed the offense has been remarkable to watch because, again, coming into this year, losing two high-scoring players like Liz Cambage and Kelsey Plum, the way that this Las Vegas Aces team has been able to really rally behind what they have has been amazing. And they have plenty of depth, something that a lot of teams don't have. I think Seattle is the only other team that can really rival them in terms of depth on the bench late in games. And when you start playing these games every other day like they have been all season, it takes a toll on you, and you see that with teams like Chicago and like Phoenix. They're smaller teams, and they're teams that don't have that availability coming off the bench late in games. So I think giving Seattle and giving Las Vegas a lot of time off here to get their bodies healthy, and they already had that depth available, it's going to be tough for any team to come up and beat them in a series. So right now, given all of that, I would say you're looking at a Seattle Storm and Las Vegas Aces WNBA Finals. I don't know who to take for that one yet. I'm going to do another podcast before then, and you'll find out my pick once we get closer and whittled down the teams in the WNBA playoffs. But that's your WNBA recap. Coming up next, I'm going to talk about the National Women's Soccer League Fall Series, as well as a lot of U.S. Women's National Team players going overseas to play in the Women's Soccer League in the U.K. and why that's actually a good thing, despite losing them from the National Women's Soccer League. Coming up right now. The National Women's Soccer League kicked off its fall series last weekend with the Washington Spirit beating the Chicago Red Stars 2-1 and the North Carolina Courage beating the Houston Dash in a shootout 4-3. Now, a lot of people are talking about a lot of the U.S. Women National Team players signing and leaving the National Women's Soccer League for the U.K. League and the WSL. I'm going to explain why that's actually a good thing and why people shouldn't freak out about that, because it's a great opportunity for the National Women's Soccer League to be able to grow, and we saw it kind of over the Challenge Cup. The Challenge Cup was a fantastic opportunity for the National Women's Soccer League to flourish, and they did just that. They got the TV deal with CBS, and all the games can be streamed for the fall series either on CBS, CBS All Access, or Twitch. So that's a great thing for this league, and it's going to just continue to help them grow, especially for the first week, because they had pretty solid viewing numbers, just over 386,000 people, which rivals about what they were averaging in the Challenge Cup. But the fall series was not highly advertised at all, so I think those numbers are only going to go up in the future, so that's going to be great to see. Now, in terms of the U.S. women's players going overseas to play, I think this is great because they're only going to get better overseas. The competition is just as good, if not better, at this point than the National Women's Soccer League, and they're going to get paid more because the NWSL has very strict pay limits on the players that play for the U.S. women's soccer team because it's funded from U.S. soccer. So those contracts that the players sign, they're locked into $90,000 contracts every year. So this allows them to get as much money and essentially be free agents and get what the market demands. And I think that's great. They deserve to get paid. And if the National Women's Soccer League isn't going to change its policies, which seeing how U.S. soccer has handled their negotiations in paying the women in total doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon. So it's really a good thing that the U.S. women's players are going overseas and seeking the best opportunities that they can for themselves. Players like Tobin Heath, Kristen Press are going to Manchester United. You saw Rose Lavelle, Sam Mewis go to Man City. And other players have also gone to the USL from the National Women's Soccer League. So I think it's great. I think it's only going to... Alex Morgan just signed with Tottenham Hotspurs. Probably the biggest signing that the Spurs have made, men or women, in the last 5 years. So it's a beautiful thing for the women to get paid, and I don't think it's anything to lose your head about, really. I think it's only a positive. It's going to help grow their game. It's just different vibe over in England. They live, breathe, eat soccer over there. It's not like it is in the States. I just think it's going to be... I think they're going to come back for U.S. training, and I think they're just going to be more fit. They're going to be fresh, revived, playing in new systems. I think they're going to get more creative. I think it's only positive things are going to happen from U.S. players going and playing overseas. And hopefully that the NWSL and U.S. Soccer Federation will wake up and change the policies to... They have to change, or else they're going to go out. And the reality is, like, the games have still been fantastic for the NWSL, but they got to make it a way to pay the players more. They just absolutely have to. And the league keeps expanding, and it's a wonderful thing. LA is getting a team in Angel FC, and we're going to do a little dive into that right now because this is just absolutely amazing. A lot of the 99er World Cup teams are listed as partial owners. Players like Julie Foudy, Joy Fawcett, Lauren Holiday. It's just wonderful to see how many people are involved with this team. Serena Williams, the list goes on and on. Natalie Portman, Eva Longoria, Jennifer Gardner, Glennon Doyle, and Abby Wambach The amount of powerful women that are in charge of this team is just wonderful to see, and it's truly just a breath of fresh air. A lot of speculation already as to who's going to be going to LA. A lot of talk about Kristen Press and Alex Morgan, but of course they just signed overseas, so it's going to be interesting to see. But regardless, this league has to expand and grow in the National Women's Soccer League. You see Sporting Louisville is also a new team. Louisville FC is going to be another expansion team, and there's also talks for more expansion teams along the way in the future down the road for the National Women's Soccer League. But they still have to figure out a lot of stuff in terms of paying players. In addition, I think the TV deal and the Twitch deal are good signs of them going in the right direction and continuing to grow, because this league has the content is good. The content is up there with any other soccer league that's around, and it's the players are fun to watch. The league just truly encapsulates everything that you want, and the stories from the players are fantastic, and I implore you to go check out players and teams when they play. Again, CBS and CBS All Access and Twitch has all access to the National Women's Soccer Games this year. The last thing that I want to talk about is the Caster Semenya story and her not being allowed to participate in women's sports, and why that's it just doesn't make any sense. It's really frustrating. So Caster Semenya, for those of you who don't know, she is a world-class track athlete. She is a sprinter and runs mostly the 800 as well as the 200, I believe, and she's a two-time gold medal for the Olympics. Semenya has a rare genetic condition that significantly elevates her testosterone levels. It's ruled that she's not allowed to compete now in any world events unless she takes pills to lower her testosterone levels to try to make it, quote unquote, an equal playing field. And that just doesn't make any sense to me, because I don't think that it's because she's a woman, mostly, I think that this is an issue at all. The fact that you look at world-class male athletes, I've never heard of them getting their testosterone level checked and then put in balance because it's an unfair playing field. You know, if there's one male that has a higher testosterone level, they wouldn't be forced to take pills to lower their testosterone level. It would be seen as a physical specimen, and how we should all marvel at the male human body and all this, you know, crap that they love to throw down people's faces. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me about how we're looking at Semenya as a black woman. She's just a badass for winning two gold medals. I mean, she was just born with a genetic condition. She can't help her testosterone levels, but then when you look at men, it's taken in a completely different direction. So I don't really understand how she can't compete. The ruling comes from a Swiss Supreme Court that granted a case in sex, gender identity, and fair play with regulations passed in 2018, stating that intersex athletes who have disorder of sexual development and have both X and Y chromosomes, the standard male pattern, would have to lower their testosterone levels to keep competing in women's events from the quarter mile to the mile, which combines speed and endurance. I'm reading directly from a New York Times article going on Semenya losing the appeal to defend her 800-meter title. So again, reading directly from the New York Times article, Semenya identifies as a woman. And according to doctors, people with the 46XY disorder of sexual development have genitalia that are not typically male or female and can be ambiguous. But she defines herself as a woman. She's competed as a woman her entire life. Another caveat here with the whole case is that, medically speaking, it doesn't make any sense to have Semenya taking medication without a medical need. It would be ethically wrong for a doctor to give her the medication, because there's no reason for her to take the medication. Ethically speaking, it would do more harm to her. And when she has taken the pills, she hasn't felt good taking them. She's gotten sick. She's had migraines. It's messed with her hormonal balance, and it hasn't made her feel good. So ethically speaking, this case doesn't make any sense. No doctor should be able to ethically prescribe her that medication that the courts want her to be taking. in order to make it, quote unquote, again, a fair playing field. So overall, the whole Caster Semenya case just doesn't make any sense. And it just makes me really wonder, you know, when we compare this kind of a situation to that of if it was a white male athlete, and then on Instagram, you know, a lot of people are comparing it to Michael Phelps's, you know, physical attributes and all the crazy, you know, he's a freak of nature. But when we say he's a freak of nature, it's meant as a compliment for him. But for Caster Semenya, it's looked down on her. And I think it's just troubling to see those kinds of comparisons being made for in Caster Semenya's case, because she's just trying to compete and be a world-class athlete. And to say that she has to change her body to fit other people's biases against her, that doesn't make any sense to me. From a medical standpoint, it's ethically not right. And it's something that just needs to be changed. And hopefully, you know, she still has the intent on training and practicing and competing in the upcoming Olympics. Of course, with COVID and other restrictions placed on her, that might not be possible. But she is still training in South Africa. And she's still training to be the best athlete and person that she can be. So hopefully that we see a change in this. There's been uproar. I haven't seen any, you know, news about it on the crawl watching football games. I don't know how many people are talking about it, but hopefully more people will talk about it, because it's certainly an issue and a topic that needs recognition, and more people should be talking about it. I haven't seen it on ESPN, haven't seen it watching football, haven't seen anything about it watching baseball on a crawl or anything like that. So hopefully more attention is brought to it, and it's something that hopefully is resolved, and hopefully Caster Semenya will be able to compete. With all that being said, thank you as always for listening to Toro Sports Talks. Plenty of WNBA playoffs on ESPN. ESPN is carrying the whole WNBA playoffs. Every game will be on either ESPN or ABC. Be sure to check out Women's Soccer League on the FA Player. It's free. It's the Women's Soccer League in the UK. It's free. Every match is free. There will also be match replays on NBC, NBC Sports. And the Women's Soccer League, the NWSL, National Women's Soccer League, will also be played on CBS, CBS Sports Access, and Twitch. Every game will be free. For CBS, they'll have a game of the week on Sundays, as well as every game is free, I believe, on Twitch. So, you know, be sure to check it out. Women's sports are, there's a lot going on right now, and it's quarantine, so you have no excuse to not watch. So hopefully you tune in. And, you know, the games have been fantastic, as always. This is Toro Sports Talks, and I'm your host, Peter Toro. Thank you so much.